Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It is Florence the Foodie.
And we are back.
We're back.
With a credits episode.
Yep, another credits.
So credits episodes are our mini episodes where we talk about whatever we want. And today, what we want to talk about is Baby Reindeer.
Oh my God. I'm happy we did it today, but then in the back of my mind, I wish we'd done it when it was fresh. I should have rewatched it, actually. I've watched it twice.
Oh, you watched it twice?
So far. Yeah, because I watched it once and I watched it with my mum, because I just had to watch it with her, and the commentary was chef's kiss. It was everything you'd expect it to be if you've ever met my mum. So,
what was your overall feelings about the show? Because it's a show, it's not a documentary, which is normally what we do here, but it was based on, depending on who you ask, it was based on true events.
Do you know what? It's probably one of my favorite shows I've ever watched. Yeah. And I don't say that from a way of like The Office or whatever. I say it from the way of like, I feel like it's such an important piece, like an important body of work.
Yeah.
I think he was authentic in his critique of himself. Mm-hmm. Like, should everything that he depicted be true? I think he was authentic in his critique of himself. Like, I think he was I think he depicted what a lot of victims are. He wasn't the perfect victim.
Yeah, because the perfect victim doesn't exist.
And that's most people. Most people are fucked up. Most people have issues within themselves.
Yeah, they're flawed. They're confused.
They're flawed.
Their abuse
literally
furthers any confusion they've already had.
Exactly. It was just perfect to me. Like, the whole, I know you shouldn't say perfect, but it was perfect to me. And
it was really,
I think,
well done.
Yeah. And I also think he told a very important story, i.e. male victims. One, like the male on male, like rape. And then also a female being a perpetrator of sexual assault on a man, which is something that even when it happens isn't spoken about a lot.
Yeah.
And also, like, he was right. I didn't leave it feeling like, obviously I did think, oh my gosh, Martha is insane, but I also felt like this woman within herself is not well.
Yeah, these are two people who have issues that happen to stumble across each other.
Yeah, I didn't leave feeling like, oh my God, like, she's this villain. I just left feeling like, yeah, this woman is really not well.
She needs help.
I hope she's getting help.
Yeah.
So I really, really, really loved it. I think he did a fantastic job. I think he, like, kudos to him. Obviously, we're recording tonight because this is just off the heels of Martha's interview with Piers Morgan. And I think, after watching that,
sorry, before we get into that, I thought it was really strange that he played himself. Although he technically didn't play himself, like, because the character had a different name to his name, but I found it so strange because the opening scene is him going to the police station to kind of talk about what was going on, and then we kind of go backwards, and in the first few lines I was like, oh, this guy's acting a bit weird, like, this ain't really giving like actor. And then I realized that, like, it's him. And he's not an actor, he's a comedian. So it made sense why the acting was a bit like, yeah, at first. But it's just strange because some of the scenes, especially like the rape scene, is really, 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 really like graphic. And I just wonder what it was like for him to put himself back in a situation.
To that space.
Yeah, back into that space when he didn't have to. I mean, to be honest, he probably had to regardless because he wrote it. He was involved in like the show and how it came about and stuff. So, but actually being the actor, like,
I think if anything, it tells me he's a fantastic actor, because if someone asked me to act myself, I think I would fumble. Like, how do you play
yourself? Just be yourself. There's so many celebrities that just play the same role all the time and it's themselves.
Yeah, okay. You just remember lines. You say that, just be yourself, but in front of a light, in front of a camera, like, thinking about what you need to convey, because what you convey in an actual situation is very different to what you probably convey for an audience.
If you're a good actor,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying about him, is that, like, he just seemed a bit like, he didn't seem seasoned. He didn't seem like a seasoned actor. That first scene,
I think that gives me, like, you're flipping seasoned, because, like, the thing is that for me to act myself, I would be playing a almost like a caricature of myself.
No, not necessarily. You're just playing yourself.
I do think so, because you say you play yourself, okay, but if you're put into a scenario and you're like, okay, this is what the script calls for, be yourself.
No, but it's not be yourself. You're playing a character, but that character is yourself.
Yeah, and so for you to even do that, I think you're fantastic. And I think you're a fantastic actor.
That's okay. You can think that. I just think that his acting skills, because that's what I remember. I didn't realize he was playing himself. I just saw this like guy playing this guy, and I was just like, oh, that's like, that feels a bit off, that first scene. Like, this doesn't give actor. And then I was like, oh shit, he's not an actor. That's the point that I'm making, like, he's not an actor. But he chose to play himself.
And I also think that the way he played it as well, like I said, made it real and more endearing. It made it believable that this is a real story. Like, because I don't know how to explain it, because like he's, I guess from what I watched, he's an awkward person. I believe he's very much the way that he portrayed himself to be.
It seemed authentic to me, in terms of like the way that he carried himself, the jokes that he would make, even like the interactions that he had. I think it was very raw and very honest, and I don't think that a lot of people could do what he did. Yeah. I would say
I think a lot of people could play him, if how he's depicted in that is
a good actor
how
could.
He is okay. Moving on.
But yeah, no, I think it was well told. I think it was paced really well. It was, how many episodes? What, six episodes?
Yeah,
but they were like half an hour, so I think that was good, because it wasn't exhausting to watch, although it kind of was emotionally.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was, yeah, I think the dark bits were very like, whoa, but I think the whole like Martha bits were more like, you just keep wondering what she's going to do. And that's literally what my mom said. She was like, she got to an episode and she was like, I just wonder what this woman is going to do next.
And like what she's capable of.
Yeah, and that's what kept, like, you kept waiting for the crescendo because you knew that it was going to come.
Yeah, something was going to happen.
But you didn't know when it was going to be. But then obviously those dark bits were very dark. Like the whole episode, there was, I think the episode where it depicted the rape,
that was
the whole episode. Yeah, that whole episode was just around him and that producer guy.
Yeah, that was kind of like scenario. His story, because the main, or I guess the main through line or storyline of the show is his relationship with this woman and how it becomes inappropriate and she stalks him, right? But yeah. Also, it talks about like his past, his yearning to want to be a successful comedian and the things that he's endured in order to try and make that dream come true. And it's like, ultimately, the dream does come true, but only off the back of abuse times two. So one from the producer and then two from Martha. And it just kind of seems like, I don't know, like, I wonder how he felt about reaching his goal, which was to be a successful comedian, but only reaching his goal because of the terrible things that happened to him. Like, how do you reconcile something that's so, so good and such a high with something that's so, so bad and such a low?
I think when I watch the interviews, like, from him these days, I mean, obviously, I don't know, I can't speak to for him and I don't know the ins and outs, but I think he's somehow made peace with it. Not peace, he's like, healed. Oh, this is a good thing, but he's healed, basically. Mm-hmm.
He has to have to be able to do the show.
And I think the stuff that happened then happened a while ago. I think I did watch an interview when he was saying that it was crazy doing it because it felt like he was revisiting stuff that he hadn't touched
almost like
on
you
in
put
years.
In a box years ago and now you're opening it back up.
Yeah, so I guess he's healed, and when you've healed, you're able to kind of
address
take
things.
That pain and dress it and use it for something else rather than just what you're feeling inside. But I really just thoroughly loved it. It was fantastically done. When people keep saying that he didn't go to that great length to conceal who Martha was, I feel like if he concealed things anymore, it would have made the show inauthentic,
and
then
also
you couldn't say,
it would have just made people look for somebody else that it wasn't.
Like, yeah, and fundamentally at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is anybody who was in that pub that she used to go to, where
could
he
confirm.
Was could say who it was. So people keep saying, like, people saying that, oh, like, he did it, he barely tried to cover it up, blah, blah, blah. Like the baby reindeer, somebody was like, oh, he shouldn't have used baby reindeer,
but why?
But
that's why
it's such a key, yeah, and it's such a key pivotal part of the storyline. Why shouldn't he use,
and it's not
happened?
Like Martha's walking around with baby reindeer on her forehead and that's how we identify
literally
her. Like, what is weird is the people who've gone out of their way to find this
thank you
mentally disturbed person. That's what's
say,
weird,
because Pierce was like, oh, I could have found you in 10 minutes. And it's like, I don't know, whatever, fair enough. But like, I really don't know how these people found her.
Well, because like, I don't know if they went.
Yeah, I get it was the tweets, but how did you just search baby reindeer and look for, like, how did you, do you know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when someone is determined, look at Martha, when someone is determined to do something, they're gonna do that thing. Like, there's not much that you can always do to stop them, especially in this, like, internet age.
Yeah, and I think if he had done things, like, because it was based on a true story, people were like, oh, like, maybe he should have changed certain things. Or I think...
And maybe he did.
If he had... And yeah, maybe he did, but if he had removed distinctive, like, I don't know, markers that happened in the show, then the story wouldn't have been a real
story.
That's
not what happened. And all we know, he did remove things that happened. Like, we don't know. Exactly. We don't know. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's one, you're still trying to tell your story. So that's your concern.
And that's his truth and his story to tell. If it bothers Martha, she should go and write her own story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you know what I found really interesting? So that scene where he went to see his parents, because Martha starts talking to the parents, and then he tells them about, like, the abuse that he suffered, and his dad opening up about also suffering abuse as a child. Mm. And I suppose it must be true, because why would you include that detail, like, for Bantz, yeah? Mm. But that was just like, wow, like, that must have been such a freeing conversation to have with your dad, who used, like, macho man and stuff, like, to be like, wow, we've really gone through this thing together and you understand me in a way that, like, no one else does.
I was actually sobbing at that bit.
It was really sad. It was really, really sad, the whole thing. I was just like...
I was sobbing happy tears for him, though, because, you know, you don't always get that reaction from...
Your parents, especially older generations.
They just loved him... I felt like they loved him more after. And then I liked the bit where he was on the train and dad was like, good luck with the transsexual.
Speaking of which, so another theme of this show was Richard, whatever, really questioning his sexuality after the abuse, which I think is valid, and I like that he included that part, talking about, like, sleeping with men, women, trans people, just anyone and everyone, really. Not that you should go out and do whatever, but it really almost seemed to, like, help him figure out or explore what the fuck.
Yeah.
Because he was really confused. It was like, oh, do I feel this way because I've been abused, or have I always felt this way and this has unlocked something, or have I... Do you get what I mean? Like, it must be a really... Mm. Like, turmoil within yourself is crazy because there's no escape. Mm.
And I think when I've, like, watched videos and documentaries or whatever with a lot of male victims of... sexual assault or rape, that's what they always say. They have that moment of questioning their sexuality, and for some, like, I think with Richard, it went, I don't want to say well, but I think he was able to identify, because I think I read now that he identifies as, like, either bi or pan or something like that. So obviously he was able to come to a conclusion about his own sexuality. Maybe the means he went through weren't healthiest, but either way. But a lot of them do speak of how it makes them question their sexuality. And then for those who have maybe internalized homophobia or whatever, like, they are so repulsed by...
That they don't explore it. Because the thing is, like you said, Richard explored it, maybe not in the safest ways, because he was just fucking any and everyone, but to question your sexuality, like, maybe sit in it and think about it, maybe, like, explore things a little bit, maybe try and, like, let the thought develop and then move from it, kind of thing. But I think sometimes, like, people don't. It's like, you get like, nah, how can I think, and then it's almost like you're repressed, you're angry with yourself, you're angry with your abuser, you just I don't know, it's really sad.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but I don't know, I think he seems healed and healthy.
Yeah.
So kudos to him.
That scene where he was on the stage and his show was like, well, this happens many times, his show was like bombing and no one is laughing, but the last time when, like, he basically spills all his guts out about, like, what happened, I was just like, oh
yeah,
my god.
Literally, I bet he never expected that would be the...
Yeah. And did that really happen?
So I can't find any clips from that. I tried to find that. I don't know if he scrubbed the internet of it or
what. Yeah, I don't know that it happened in that way.
I'm not sure that it happened in that way, but he probably at some point decided to use his experiences for content. Is content the right word? Or material? Yeah, material.
Yeah, same thing. But yeah, so this Piers Morgan interview. Piers Morgan...
Piers is a disgusting human being.
Do you know what? I was going
to
say...
That needs to be buried alive. I'm sorry to say it. Like, that woman is not well. Mm-hmm. So you can see that from the tweets. You can see that from the Facebooks. You can see that from everything.
From her
she's
face.
Not a well... From her
Do
face.
You know that she
You can
said,
see that she's not a well woman.
In the first few minutes of this quote-unquote interview, yeah... she was like, oh, well, I kind of was forced to come out and say something because I'm getting death threats. Everyone's like sort of saying stuff about me. Like, it's not as if she's obviously she's there by her own volition, but like she's almost been manipulated into having to come on the show. It's like, listen, tell your story or we're going to tell it for you sort of thing. She does not seem okay.
She doesn't seem okay. And Piers Morgan was not a...
He wasn't a great interviewer.
Yeah, he wasn't a great... It was almost like he was bombarding her. And whilst
and
she
wasn't
was
listening
clearly lying...
To her. He basically was listening to respond, not to understand what she was saying.
At all. And whilst she was clearly... I don't even know if I would say she was lying, because what I think it is that she definitely has her own version of reality that differs from most people's version. So I'm not even sure if she knows that she's lying, like in a manipulative... I don't think she thinks, like I'm being manipulative or blah, blah. I think she genuinely believes, like, I think she believes she has a lawyer boyfriend.
Yes.
That might be another victim of hers, but I genuinely think she believes she has a lawyer boyfriend and all these lawyer friends. And there were parts of her story that didn't add up that let me know that, like,
nothing
Richard
really
was
made
not
a
lying.
Lot of sense. But Piers was just like... bombarding her
and then he was trying, it was almost like he was trying to catch her out. I think it was one of two things, or both. I think he was trying to catch her out in a lie, which he did a few times, and I think he was also trying to get that build up and reaction that he got that Richard had, where you know when they're in the bar and he's like, yeah, well, this woman is a stalker, blah, 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 and then she loses it.
Yeah.
I think he wanted her to lose it on...
I think
he
was antagonizing her, because there's certain things where it's like, you as an interviewer, and again, this is a gripe I have with Shannon Sharp, because I feel like he's such a shit interviewer, I feel like there's certain things where, like, it's evident to the audience. Like, we see that this doesn't make sense. We see that you saying, oh, I didn't really know him. I only met him a few times I was going to his place. Like, we're not dumb. Like, we see that this is a discrepancy. And you don't have to, like, bombard it and push the point, because now it's like, what's the point? And I think you saying that he was trying to, like, get a rise out of her makes so much sense, because why else? She would be replying to something. If it didn't fit the narrative he wanted, he would just move on to another question and go from there. It's like, hello, hi.
Like, even the question around, grade did she get? Clearly she didn't want to answer it, or clearly we know that she's making it up. I don't know if she even
and it's
went
like,
to
how
uni
does that what so to what end so now how does this further your
and
point?
You're bombarding but we get it, we get that this is another one of her fantasies or whatever, but what are you bombarding her for? So of all the platforms she could have gone on to have this conversation, this was the worst.
But I feel like this
but
is
he's
the
a
biggest.
Slimy snake. You think it's the biggest
that she could have gone on? Who else is going to interview her?
She could have gone on like Loose Women or something.
I don't know
it's
if that's
same...
on brands. This is very Piers Morgan. This seems like exactly the type of low hanging fruit that he would go after.
You think they wouldn't have her on Good Morning, whatever?
Isn't that all the same vibe? The Good Morning lot and Piers Morgan.
Yeah, but they would have been better than Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is slimy.
Is Piers Morgan not part of the Good Morning people?
Am I thinking about what's the one that the guy what's the one that the guy
Philip Schofield
what's his
I don't know, him and Holly. Oh, I don't know, maybe it is.
That's what I was thinking of,
maybe. Oh, but they had maybe I'm getting all these shows confused, ignore me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe her tour is not over. I think she did one interview for some Scottish newspaper and she did this one. Do you know one thing that she said that I was on her side is when she said she's going to sue the Daily Mail. I said, yes girl. And I'm right behind you.
But what's she suing them
the
for?
The same thing she sued Netflix and Richard Gadd for.
I mean, sue them, but...
To what end?
To what end?
Piers said, is your lawyer boyfriend going to help you? She said, no, actually. My lawyer friends will.
I got
will.
Other lawyers. Nah.
No, but is she a lawyer, though?
I think she studied law, but I don't know that she completed, like, the training contracts or whatever.
But, like,
these
things are
the
just
time.
So easy to, like, dispute.
Everything she said is easy to dispute. That's why he kept saying to her, bro, like, you know this stuff you're saying, people can just go and check on the internet. So it's wild, because in a week's time, we're now going to have the release of all this information to show that she's lying. And she knows she's lying. So but I just don't get it.
She knows that she's lying. No. Or like, that's what I'm saying. But she knows, I feel like she believes. It's like, if I believe, you know when people say my truth, my truth.
You have six phones. And she said it like it was so normal. She's like, I know loads of people that have six phones. No, you don't.
No, it was four phones, like, and six email addresses, actually.
Either way.
She said four phones, and then this one broke, the other one broke. I said, girl, phones don't really break these days. Like,
and they don't break to the extent, like, what, your screen cracks.
Here's what I'm saying. Like, everything is replaceable. Like, you can fix it.
Yeah, to me, that screams stalker.
And then the six email.
Either stalker or drug dealer.
Or both. And you know what? Yeah. This was always also like, was just like, babe, it's 2024, yeah? Well, she kept referring to like emails as a way to contact her friends. I do not email any of my friends, if not for, here's a confirmation, babe.
Literally.
Email is not your first.
Flight books.
Yeah, literally. This is not your first like mode of communication. That's not what you do.
Yeah, it's.
It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Insane in the membrane.
She, but yeah, no, ultimately I think that she's been exploited and she shouldn't have been on this platform. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
because even for Piers, it's like, to what end? Views, clearly, which I'm really sad that I gave him, but it is just kind of like, that's it. Because
he was so horny for those views as well. He kept posting how many people were waiting. Yeah,
like,
to
you
watch.
you don't want to help her, like, rehabilitate her. You don't want to really see her side. You literally just want to antagonize this person and get views off it. So I don't really get what the point was.
I just hope that this doesn't lead to her stalking Richard again. Probably not.
I don't think so. Absolutely not.
The opposite. A new victim. I said I think she'll find a new victim. She knew a lot about Piers, so he better watch out.
No, but what do you think she's been doing all this time?
I don't know, but I will say that she was portrayed perfectly. Like, you know,
even
that
the
thing,
like, side by side, you know, they had the side by side pictures. I said, you know, yeah, what, this casting was remarkable.
On point. There's this thing she does, which she did in the show as well, where she tries to overinflate her importance, mm-hmm, or like her life. Yes. And you inflate, can clearly see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can clearly see it when she was talking to Piers. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll drop, oh, like this, or, oh, okay, so you were this lawyer and you were poached from a firm.
Yeah.
But then what did you get in your law
and
degree?
Then,
like,
what a great,
2-1 first.
Yeah. And then what a great person she is, because it's like, oh, I never lie, but I do tell white lies. Oh, I basically had to lie to my 94-year-old neighbour because she was dying and I didn't tell her that she was... Okay, Mother Teresa.
And again, it's this whole thing of this community. Like, you have a 94... Like, if my when my neighbour died, I went and gave my condolences to her husband, but I didn't
go
and call
you.
Her in.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what do you mean you called your... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing she was doing on the show, and it just let me know, yeah, like, this is definitely,
I think it's definitely
the same person.
Yeah, I think it's... She said that nobody called her or nobody tried to whatever, which, I mean, fair. I don't know why they would. Like,
and also, they're not going to call you because they didn't use your name.
Yeah, and this is also not a collaborative project. Like, this...
Yeah. Do you think they wanted your
input. So, Martha, Fiona, how would you play this?
Nah, I don't think there was a need to, because they didn't use your name. If they used your name, fine.
They used their likeness.
Even that.
No, the likeness was,
I mean,
spot
they did.
On, fam.
It
the
was
only thing
spot
was
on,
that she
but...
had a fringe now and she didn't have a fringe then.
Yeah. And she keeps trying to make it seem like the actress is ugly.
And I was and like, do you remember, babe, should we take a mirror?
Literally. And do you remember the bit where she was like, oh, she doesn't even have a Scottish accent, and Pierce is like, yeah, because she's English.
Yeah,
like,
she's an actor.
She's not Scottish. Mm-hmm. Like, she's an actress. Like,
but didn't she have a Scottish accent in the show?
She did, but she basically, they were watching an interview of Richard Gadd and the actress, and then she was like, oh, like, she doesn't even sound Scottish.
Do you think that? Like, yeah, do you think that she really hasn't watched? Because she said she's not watched the show. Do you think that she really
she's
hasn't watched
lying.
It? She's 100%. She's 100%
watched
it.
She's watched
it. She's got
it
Netflix
bare.
For that purpose.
Because even she said that she only met Richard 3 or 4 times. Then why did you go to his comedy show?
Yeah. And then also, like,
you,
the emails.
And you were in that pub. So, like, maybe because I'm not white, I don't understand pub culture, but I don't really know anybody that continuously goes to the same pub and has, like, meals and stuff like that.
No, I think they, like, do. That's, like, their vibe. But my thing is, okay, that, say for example you're at your local pub, yeah, and some guy's, yeah, doing like a comedy performance and you happen to be there, fine, I hear that. But what it seemed like was that, like, he was headlining a show or he had a show and you had to take yourself from wherever you are to that show. It wasn't like it was dropped in your lap at a pub. That's what it seemed like to me. And if that's the case, then it's like, so
yeah,
why are you here, love?
And she definitely wanted to drop in that he's homosexual.
Yes, and she said like, that. And she kept saying,
this is 2024.
Bro, we don't give a fuck. Cares. And even to her, referring to herself, she's like, oh, I'm heterosexual. Okay, and that's got nothing to do with anything that we're talking about.
Nobody
here.
Nobody cares.
No one actually gives a fuck. Like, that's got nothing to do with this.
You want to tell us you're getting cock? We don't believe
you. We don't believe you. You and your loyal boyfriend.
So, yeah. And she said that, oh, he tried to sleep with her girl, be so for real.
No, but the thing is, though...
You think he did?
Richard himself is... He showed us that he's flawed. And even that time when he was, like, masturbating to a picture of her in the show, like, I don't know that he was... I don't think he was attracted to her, but I think that he was attracted to the attention that that she was giving him.
But I don't think he actively tried to sleep with her. Do you think he did?
I don't know. I think maybe, like, he was flirting a little bit and she took it a bit literally.
Yeah,
bit literally.
Like, he led her on, which is what we saw.
I think he led her on, and I think that he did that because he really liked the attention, mm-hmm. which was wrong of him. Not to say that that means that he deserved what he got, but it's like, oh, you knew that this was gonna...
No, I agree with that. And even watching it, my mum and I kept saying, like, well, I said it when I was watching it by myself, like, you're leading this woman on. Yeah. And even my mum was like, I'm struggling to feel sorry for this guy. Like, there's so many times when he should just...
And that goes back to the perfect victim thing. Even with the producer, where it's like, okay, you went this one time, didn't know what was going to go on. This thing happened. And then you go back. It's like...
And he went back, he stayed after he'd been raped. He stayed. And honestly, that is the reality of a lot of rape victims.
Exactly. And that's why I'm glad that he showed that. Because I even was watching the video and he was saying, yeah, like, he wanted the viewer to feel how he felt. Because even he to himself was like, why am I going back? Like, why do I keep going back to this place? So, yeah.
All in all, I fucking loved it. It was one of my... I wish I could almost rewatch it without knowing.
Yeah.
It's one of the favorite, like, best things I've watched. It just... For me, it was just... It was a breath of fresh air in TV because it felt real.
Yeah.
Like, authentic. I felt like I was dropped into someone's life. And this is what, like, I mean, most people are not stalked, but most people's lives are chaotic. Most people have trauma, but because they aren't, again, the perfect victim, they cannot even, like, process the trauma. Most people, like, that is the, it's just the reality. When I look at my own life, my life is not perfect. There are things I do that, If I had a camera following me, they'd probably be like, why the fuck are you doing that shit? Yeah. And it was just really, like, even the attention and stuff like that. Like, I, like attention. So I could imagine myself, even my sister always says, you're always chatting to strangers. You're always looking for the best in people. I could imagine myself being in his situation in the sense that somebody like that, other people would be like, bro, this person is weird.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh no, but like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like, I saw bits... Obviously, I probably wouldn't allow it get to that extent.
But if you say allow it get to that extent, it's like, at some point, it's like, you're no longer in control.
No, well, I probably wouldn't feed it on, at least. Let me put it that way. I probably wouldn't entertain it to that extent the way he did.
And that's what's scary about stalking. Because where she disappeared. Like, to what extent?
And there were moments where she disappeared and he, like, almost saw her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. But what I would do is, if someone walked into my pub... in that vibe, I'd have a chat with them. Yeah, I'd chat with them the next day.
Because that in itself is, that's fine, like, it's harmless. But I think the danger of stalking is, like, what is the point where it goes too far? Not on the part of the victim, but on the part of the stalker. Like, when does that like flick switch, if those are the words? Because I was reading this thing on Twitter, and this girl, this woman was a recruiter, and she interviewed a guy once, and after that he just became obsessed with her, and he's been to jail bare times now for stalking her, and he's about to come out soon for again after going to jail for stalking her. And it's like, in that situation, I'm a recruiter, I'm just doing my job, I encounter this person, I don't do anything out of the ordinary, but you now have a fixation on me. Do you see what I mean? Like, so many times these things can happen, maybe not in the exact same way as Richard Gadd, but people can just become fixated on you. And then, what, do you remember when Patricia Bright had a stalker?
No.
I feel like she did, and then she got her, someone stole her camera. Guys, if you remember this, put it in the comments, because I feel like
I remember Mimi said that I feel like this is they true. Stole the camera from their luggage, and that's how her sex tape got leaked.
The shower rods.
In the shower. I randomly saw, like, a clip of her going to meet Nico in the studio to talk about
Love
it.
Love and hip hop.
Nico was like Stevie J.
Oh, reincarnated. But, like, they definitely were the same sperm and egg, and they split One went to someone else's womb and then one stayed in his.
One thing about Mimi, she's going to keep a lame dude by her side because what?
Mimi.
Her best relationship was with that basketball, that female basketball player.
Who?
Ty.
Oh, Ty. Yeah.
And she was fine. She's fine. I don't know what Mimi was doing.
Yeah, no. Love and hip hop. Great TV back then, man. I don't watch it now, so I wouldn't know. Maybe it's still great.
People that watch it now are scary.
Yeah,
why are you watching
it? Just like people that watch
Power. Scary.
I had to get onto Nicholas today. I was like, bro, like, you and this show.
Scary.
You and this show. Let it go.
Let it go. Ain't nothing good happening there.
Let it go, man. They've sold all the drugs they can sell. They've killed all the men they can kill. What is left?
Now they're bringing out, is it the origin of Tommy and...
Please. This multiverse is too much. But yeah, anyway, let us know what you think about Baby Reindeer if you've seen it. If you haven't, I would suggest that you do. But obviously, you know yourself more than I know you. So figure out if you're going to be triggered or if you need to see it or not. But yeah, next. Oh, hold on. Let me look at our little schedule. Next, I have here, we're doing What Jennifer Did on Netflix. I think someone said that we should do that.
Oh yeah, let's just do it then.
We'll discuss off air, off mic.
Let's take it offline.
But yeah, we'll do What Jennifer Did because it's one episode, so we'll bang that out. And then, as we promised, we'll do another documentary after that. But we'll figure that out off mic.
Perfect.
But yeah, in the meantime, follow us wherever you follow people. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, la la la. TikTok, it's 2girls1docpodcast. You can email us at 2girls1doc@gmail.com. Your requests or whatever you want to say. You guys have actually been giving us 5-star reviews, which is great. On Spotify, the numbers are going up. So if you could please continue to do that and share with everyone, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that is everything, I believe. Any last words? Yeah. You are gone. Look at your eyes.
I'm vapid. Zoned out, guys. I'm so tired, guys.
Cool. All right, then. Thank you for working with us. Bye.
911, Drew.
Help me, please. I need help.
Calm down. What's going on?
So I'm broken and I heard shots. I don't know what's happening. I'm tied upstairs. Dad?
Hello?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
A woman is dead and her husband injured after a home invasion in Markham.
There was a knock at the door, then three gunmen burst inside.
They dragged me down the stairs, and then I heard two pops.
We don't get a lot of homicides in Markham, so it's like a grenade going off.
Investigators are not ruling out any scenario, including the possibility the men broke into the wrong home.
We're only going to have one witness, and that is the daughter, Jennifer Pan.
Why would you leave a surviving witness? It doesn't make sense. Something's not right about this. Now, I want to know everything about her. The Pan family were fairly normal, but outward appearances are one thing. What actually happens inside the house are completely different.
There was just so much expectation. So I like.
This is the moment where everything changes.
This quickly developed into something that nobody ever saw coming.
There's nothing normal about murder, but this one is particularly unnerving.
What other lies hasn't she told us yet?